Welcome to this week's podcast of Breakthrough Church from Bayswater in Melbourne, Australia. For more details and further resources, visit breakthrough.org.au. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Everyone else, can you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11? Because we are in a season of reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe next week, Kristen, you can read out that prophetic word. We got another prophetic word shared with us, given to us, that wasn't given to the church, but it was just something that one of the church members saw. And it was someone was praying, and for their organization, they said the Lord has told them this is to be a season of reward. And it was just pretty much the first, you know, reading like, wow, sounds like they're in our meeting. Either that or we're listening to the same God. I think it's probably more likely. Otherwise, hi to all those listening. But no, it was God speaking the same word, just telling people it's a season of reward. And Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." So as we shared last week, Chris and I were tag-teaming, sharing how this concept and understanding that the season we're in is a season of reward. God wants us to understand he is going to pour out his reward, and therefore what we need to do to prepare for that and be ready for that. And God tells us about seasons so we can be ready for the season. You want to be in the right season. You want to have the right equipment on. You know, when I go to the Gold Coast for holidays, I will dress for the Gold Coast, not for Melbourne, which can mean it's quite a cold trip out in the car into the airport. Do you know what I mean? Because it can be 9 degrees and wet and cold in Melbourne, but I'll be wearing shorts and thongs and a t-shirt because I'm dressed for when I get up there. Because you don't look at the season that you're in and say, well, this is forever. And so I say, okay, well, I'm going to wear a warm coat and long pants and pack my suitcase full of clothes that suit a cold climate because I'm in the cold climate. You say, no, I am prepared for the season I'm going into, for the place I'm going to, and I get myself ready. So I pack a suitcase ready for that place. And God wants you to do that. He wants you to think and understand what you're going into and so you can be ready for it, not just living according to what you can see. So Hebrews 11:6 gives us an insight into the fact that when God calls us to know him, it says we are to know that he is, understand who he is, but also not just that he is, but that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. It's part of his nature. So I want to share three things about this season of reward, understanding three things. So I'm going to do who, what, when. All right? Who, what, when. Not the why, not the how, but the who, what, when. So how and why and all those other questions can wait. But who, what, when, not if, not where, who, what, when. Turn the person next to you, see if you can get them. Who, what, where, when. Oh, now I'm confused. Who, what, when. Who, what, when. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss book, doesn't it? Said the who. So who is the fact that the reason that's a season of reward is because God is a rewarder. It's actually connected to his nature. It's part of what he is. It's not. We're not forcing God to give us a reward. We're not saying, oh, God, I tell you what, you better give us a reward. God, you better do this. And God's like, oh, I looked at the contract. Yeah, I'm obligated. I will do it. How many have ever had someone do something because they were obligated, not because they wanted to? You've had to force them. You've had to get out the paperwork. You've had to show them where they signed. You've had to hold them to it and make them understand. And you don't want to be like that. You don't want to have to press someone. You don't have to push. You know, we don't want to see God as someone that we're forcing to reward us. Because he says, I don't want you to come to me with that understanding. He says, I want you to come to me with this understanding that I exist and that I am a rewarder. It is actually my nature to bring reward, to recompense. I very much understand the nature of God and see him as someone who creates seasons and creates cycles, and there's seasons of sowing and there's seasons of reaping. It's really built into his nature. You read Genesis chapter 1 and you see how God created the heavens and how he created the earth and how he set up the world, and how he set up the world is an expression of the things he likes. It's what he wants. It's what he does. Sometimes you have people that their job might be to do interior design for people, and they go and they do this and they do this house. But where would you find out what they like? Their house. You go to their house to find out what do they like. What's their, you know? So what's, you know, they might do this type of lighting, they might do this type of feature, they might. But you go to their house to find out the things that they like. And Genesis 1 tells us the things that God likes. He created it. It's how he created it. It was his design. It was his idea. It was his plan. It was in his mind, his thought. He wasn't being forced to do it. No one pressured him to do it. It was because he wanted to do it and he created it. And it was in Genesis 1, we see his design before sin. So this is before it was corrupted. We look at this world and we see it in two lights. We see it as in its corruption. It's been broken. Sin has broken this world. It's not exactly as God planned. It's not exactly what God intended. But you can look above that and you can still see the glorious nature of God in it. You know, you just go out and you look on an early morning sunrise across the mountains and you see the mist and the sunrise and you go, this is an awesome world. Or you go out, I just love it when we get to go out to places which are well away from city lights. When we go out to the Grampians, one of my favorite things about the Grampians is waiting for it to be nighttime and with no clouds. You just sit there and you look up and you go, where were all these stars? You know, you just forget how many stars there are because, you know, there's so much light pollution generally. And it can be, it's like sometimes it's been years between that time when I got to stand out in a place with no light pollution. And if you can get out in the middle of the bush where there's no city lights, no town lights, and you can just look up and you can see the stars, it still makes your jaw drop, doesn't it? It's like, what an amazing God. What an awesome world we live in. So even though this is a broken world, and we've got to remember that, not everything in creation points to the Creator, because some of it points to our own corruption. The death, the destruction that's in this world, and that sometimes you get, there's a confusion. I think, who's the commentator that does the wildlife BBC documentaries? Is it David Attenborough? And I'm pretty sure it's a quote that he can't see a creator. He's very much an evolutionist because he sees some of the things that are in creation, like bugs that burrow into the skin and cause corruption and do all sorts of awful things. There's a lot of nasty stuff when you dig deep into the way, you know, that a snake will kill something and all the rest. And so he looks and he says, I can't see how a creator could create such a terrible thing. So he dismissed that because he says that, well, people who support creation say that this world is exactly like the Creator wanted it. But it's not. This is a corrupted, fallen version. So it doesn't surprise me that there's corruption and death in this creation, but that was not God's intention. That's just how our sin has affected. And God will one day fix that all up and clean it all up. But at the moment, we live in a fallen world. But if you want to see what his intention was, you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and you look at the world he created and you can see it totally without corruption and without damage. And one of the things you see in that format is he created seasons. In fact, he said he created the lights of the sky and the stars so we can see the times and the seasons. He's a God of seasons. It's his nature. He said when he created the plants, he said he created them with seeds so that they would be able to drop their seed in the ground and reproduce. And when he created man, he said, one of the things I'm giving you the plants for your food, and I'm giving you the seed of the plants. I'm giving you this process. So God is into the process of sowing and reaping and the cycles and the provision. And so there are times when you put in and there are times when you receive. So this is the nature part of God. He says he wants you to expect him to be the one who rewards. It's his nature. You're not putting your arm and saying, God, I want a reward. He said, I want you to understand it's my nature. It's what I love to do. And so first thing we need to do is understand that the season of reward is because God is a rewarder. And we need to come to him. We need to have a fresh revelation of him. It needs every prayer we pray, every confession we make over the next 12 months or longer as we take hold of this season, we're doing to the God of the reward. And we are getting a revelation of him through that. We are getting an understanding of his nature. We're seeing his goodness in that. Every time he makes a provision, it overflows in our heart to him. And this cycle of God providing and us giving thanks is part of that cycle. Remember the 10 lepers. I remember once doing a thing where I challenged you. I took a group of people, had a look, and then you couldn't see them anymore. And how many people were in that group? You know, if you sort of... Well, I don't know, about a dozen, about 9, 10. How come Jesus knew that there were 10? It's not the sort of thing you can take in just, if it was 3, I could see 3, but 10, when he had 10 lepers who came and they were all healed, he said, where are the other 9? In other words, he expected each one of them. If 9 came back, he would have said, where's the other 1? He expected that as the provision of God and the blessing and the healing of God came into them, that they would respond with what? Thanksgiving and honor and giving glory to God. He just expects it to be a cycle. He expects so that when God rewards you, he expects it to continue the flow and you to give him glory and give him honor and sow out of that and to bless out of that. And some of the things he rewards you with will be for you to enjoy. 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians talks about we get bread, which is for us to enjoy, but also he gives us seed to sow. Some things he rewards you with, you will take and you will pass on and bless and minister to others. So we have this picture of who is the one who rewards us, which enables us to get the focus of this cycle. Number 2, so who, what was the next one? You can remember the next one. What? It was what? The man who invented the light bulb? No, what? Who, what? What does he reward? What does he reward? Because that's an important thing to know. What is it that he rewards? See, as I said last week, we don't want to be the grandmama approach to God or the super kids approach to God, where reward is sort of like so general that everybody gets a reward. Everybody wins. Nobody loses. In super kids, nobody loses. All right, but how many know that's okay for children and very young children, but it's not good for life. We don't want it. God is a rewarder, but he doesn't just reward everything. He gives very particularly. In fact, there's a scripture where it talks about let's look at it. 1 Peter 1:17. I coach a basketball team. I'm very blessed to do that. Jordan is on our basketball team. And one of my jobs is to coach the basketball team and to be impartial when it comes to Jordan, to treat him as a member of the team. All right, so Captain Jordan, he's doing very well. And you know, and one day I'll make him take time on the bench like the other kids. No, how many know that would, you know, they'd look at it and say, what sort of, are you a coach or are you a parent? Because when you're coaching, you've got to be impartial across. But he's always my son, all right? But that doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, it's sort of that balance. Jordan does the wrong thing. I love him as my son, but I'll also say, don't do that pass anymore. Don't do that. You know, that's not team orientated. We don't do it that way. Or when he does something well, I don't say, well, he's my son. I can't afford to give him praise. I praise him the same as I'd praise everybody. You know what I mean? And 1 Peter 1:17 says, and if you address as father, the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during your time, the time of your stay upon the earth. Do you see what it says about him? The one who impartially judges according to those who are his children doesn't say that. According to those that he likes, it says to their works. And part of what we got to understand is God is amazingly gracious and loving, but he's also impartial when it comes to certain things. Not everyone's going to get a reward. Well, let me put it another way. There is a reward that comes sometimes that you don't want. There's the reward for the wicked, which you don't want. And without Jesus Christ, that's the reward everyone will get. The word for reward can mean wages. It's what you get, what's due to you. It's, you know, if I tell one of my kids, if you will mow the lawns for me today, tonight I will, you know, take you down and buy you a slushie, you know, and we'll have a bit of time together. And so they come in and at night and they say to me, hey, you know, it's slushie time. What am I going to do before we go for the slushie? Sorry? Get my wallet? Yeah, no. Good try. What am I going to do before I head to reach my wallet and the keys? Look out the window. See what the lawn looks like. And you go, because that slushie is not based on the fact that you're my child. That slushie is based on your work. Okay? And rewards are connected to something. It's a response. It's a reaction to it. And so what is it that God responds to? It's important to understand what it is that he responds to. Because we might think he responds to a certain thing, and he doesn't get excited by that at all. You know, sometimes I could be guilty of when I was doing tidying up and cleaning, sometimes I'd get sidetracked. Not in a bad way, but in sort of a good way, but not what was wanted. Okay, so my mum would come in and say, tidy up your room. No, she wouldn't, you know, maybe she would say it like that. Maybe she wouldn't, depending how many times she'd had to say that same phrase. All right. So, okay, finally, it's tidy up your room. So I'm like, so I'm tidying up my room. And then I find my collection of, you know, say, football cards. And they're under the bed and they're in a bit of a mess. Now, the room's a big mess. But I spend the afternoon getting my football cards in perfect order. I'll sort them by team and I'll do this. With girls, it might be the Barbie doll collection. There's all the hairs brushed and the clothes are all neat. All right. Sometimes can you do something which is sort of what you've been asked to do, but not really what you've been asked to do? And you come in and you say, well, I was tidying my room, but not really doing what your parent wanted. And so you don't want to just presume that the thing that you've got in your gun and you're busy doing is what God is actually wanting you to do. So sometimes it's important to understand, what does he reward? What is it that he rewards? What does he reward? And so let's just look at a couple of scriptures because I want to understand. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. What does he reward? Now, there's a number of things. I'm just going to focus on one at this time because it's sort of like a core one, a foundational one. And it's one that I've had to sort of make sure I get the balance just right, because if you can swing it to either extreme and get a bit of a mess. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, that no one should boast." So my question is, does God reward works? Based on that scripture, it might appear that God does not reward works. It's a grace-based reward system. That which is not by my efforts that I might boast, but it's simply by his grace. So looking at that scripture, it might appear that it is a purely grace-based system that does not reward works. And so I've been always very careful. I don't want to get into a works mentality, because churches and Christians in the past have fallen into a works mentality. We preach grace and then we live by works. And everybody comes to church so that they are getting good enough to go to heaven. Everyone does things and acts in a certain way, and you give your tithes and offerings because you're trying to earn pleasure, the pleasure of God. And you live a holy life because you're trying to earn. And yet it says here, there's nothing we can do that can earn our salvation. It is by grace alone. And that nothing we can do gives us any place to boast. And so the concept of doing things for works, so does God reward works, is a key question. It's an important question, because if we get it wrong, we can get very messed up. So it says there, it is not a result of works that no one should boast. And then it says, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus for good works, which he prepared before, and that we should walk in them. In other words, he says, it's not a result of works, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Your job here on earth is actually to do work. And the reason it gets a little bit confusing is when you see it's not a result of works, by just taking that phrase by itself, misunderstand that it's not all works that is being talked about. Let's go back to Romans 3:28. In fact, we'll read from verse 27. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No. Not by a law of faith. Is it by works? No. For we maintain, says in verse 28, that a man is justified by faith. Apart from, now notice this time it doesn't say apart from works. It says apart from works of the law. All right, do you see that? Not just any kind of works, works of the law. Let me give you another scripture here. Galatians 2:16. I just want you, it's sort of echoing it, but it's important to get it. Ephesians 2:16. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So do you understand that in Ephesians, when it says we are not saved by works, that does not mean works globally are not important to God. It just means the works of the law. What are the works of the law? The works of the law are where you do things and follow the Ten Commandments and any other expression of that law that God gives. If you do those works with the intention that you will do them so fully and so completely that your life will be clean and you will be acceptable to God. And Paul actually says in the book of Galatians, he goes through Deuteronomy 27. How many remember Deuteronomy 28? The blessings, blessed going out, blessed coming in. But right before that is Deuteronomy 27 and a list of things that are cause the curse. And it says, curse if you do this, and curse if you do that, and curse if you do this part. And then right at the end, Paul picks up on a verse that says, cursed is every man who does not do every one of the law, every one of these laws. And Paul's like, so, you know, did you hear that? Cursed if you don't do every one of them. Now, to do the works of the law, you need to do them fully, completely, without missing one. And only then can you boast and say, I did it. And Paul said, no one can do that. No one is saved by works. But when he's saying works, it's no one is saved by the works of trying to accomplish our salvation by the law and by our own goodness. You cannot get saved by that. That the effort of the flesh produces nothing. It produces only death, and the efforts of the self-pride come out of that. Boasting flows out of our ability to say, I did it myself. You know, if you're ever getting to the point where you're thinking, you know, I'm pretty good at this, how many know that, you know, the next step is watch out for your nose. Because right after you get to that point, you say, you know, I'm nailing this thing with God. As soon as you start to think, God, you must be pretty pleased to have me in the kingdom. What would you do without me? How would the church function without me? How would God get on? You must be pretty happy that you got a believer. How many of that type of thinking shows that we've moved back into the works and works of the law mentality? But that does not mean that works as a concept is against God's plan. That's just the works of the law. It's not all works. Because then it says, remember in Ephesians 2, if you go back there, it says, He has prepared us to do good works. So what is a good work? Now, you might say good works, you know, like helping a lady across the street. You know, doing good things is good works. The essence is not the difference between good things and bad things. The works of the law are good things. Good works are works that come out of the goodness that Jesus has put in you. He has made you good, and then you let that goodness come out of you. That is a good work. Not necessarily the work itself, it's what He does. Good works that He prepared for you to do. So, He doesn't want us just, He will reward us for good works. Let's look at 2 Timothy. Two scriptures there. We'll close in a minute. We won't do the when today. When will we do when? Another time. 2 Timothy 2:21. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. He will be ready to do work, real work. The work of the Spirit, the work that comes out of being cleansed and made whole. Turn across to chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God. And what's the purpose of Scripture? It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The whole purpose of what does... The reason why Jesus gets you saved is so you can get into works. Sometimes we think we are saved from works into a life of grace, and that the life of grace is just grace. It's not. You're saved from the works of the law unto the works of grace. We're saved from a life of our own flesh effort for a life of spirit effort. And that's why sometimes there's parts of the church at the moment that if you start talking about works, they say you are not talking about grace. Grace leads to works, not flesh works, not law works, but works. The whole purpose is so we can work it out. And if we're not working it out, we haven't really got the grace sorted out. And so let's turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll finish with this scripture. Read from verse 10. Okay, Paul says, according to the grace of God which was given to me, so he said, God worked his grace into me, and in that there came an ability to work, and as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it, but let each man be careful how he builds upon it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if a man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. Each man's work will become evident. What is going to become evident? There's two ways of working. There's the work of the law, and there's the work of grace. There's the work where you do it out of your own self-effort, and the work you do out of the Holy Spirit's work in you, an expression of God. So there's two kinds of work. There's the work which you are doing because you are trying to win God's approval, and there's the work you do because you have God's approval. There's the one where you're trying to desperately show God that you're good enough to be in his body. And there's the work that says, I'm adopted. It's not because I'm good enough. It's because of his love and grace. And now that I'm part of his family, I want to live like a member of his family because I've been adopted and I have the heart of his son in me. So which type of work? So there's two types of work. And it says some of them, there's gold, silver, and what was the other one? It's precious stones. And then there's wood, hay, and straw. The wood, hay, straw talks about the flesh work. The gold, silver, precious stones talks about the works that are done for his glory and out of his goodness for us. It's not necessarily the work that you do, okay? Good works are not... Reading your Bible, good work or flesh work? Feeding children, good work or flesh work? Eating chocolate, good work or flesh work? Drinking coffee, good work or flesh work?
Amazing work.
How do you know? You can't. You can't know until you pour and look into my heart and find out why and how I'm doing it. Okay, if I am reading my Bible because I'm on a reading plan, and what a good boy am I, and God must be so pleased with me because I've read my scriptures and I can't help but tell people how good I am. You know, that's one of the ways I check myself and know if I can't help but tell others what I've been doing, there's something wrong. As I was being, you know, because I've been doing this 10 chapters a day thing for a number of months. No, if I've got to let you know, because I was witnessing to 4 people this week. How many people were you witnessing to? Only 44. Or how many were you? I just got to pick a number higher than you. All right. If I'm comparing and trying to, there's a problem there. And what happens is you don't know. I'll tell you this. I will get a reward in heaven for drinking coffee. Because one time I had to do it by faith. Because I don't like coffee. But I was overseas ministering and I found out that the cultural experience is they make people welcome by cooking coffee, and it's their culture. And when I read that, I went, Houston, we have a problem, because coffee makes me gag. And yet I wanted to honor them and I didn't want to do it. So I prayed, and you know, the Lord gave me that scripture from Acts where it says they spoke in languages that they hadn't learned by the Holy Spirit. They were able to connect with someone on a supernatural level. And I said, God, I'm going to drink coffee by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I have had one cup of coffee in my life, the whole cup. No sugar, no milk, because it was so full you could not put anything in. It was just a little black, not meant to drink it with anything. My plan was to fill it with sugar, secret plan. They hand it to me and it's up to the brim like this. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to do anything. But you know how I drank that cup of coffee? By faith. I had prepared for it, believed for it. I got a word from God. I was confident. I wasn't under pressure. I wasn't sweating it. I just believed God. And I drank it and I enjoyed it. They said, do you want a second cup? And I said, no, because I had faith for one. And I didn't want to push it. You know, it wasn't, you know, I just enjoyed it. That was okay. But I knew I didn't want to just, one was fine. Everything, no one had any problems with that. That was a work of the Spirit. I'm not saying when you drink coffee, it's a work of the Spirit. You realize that, don't you? You can't twist my words here, people. You might try. That's not what I said. Each man's work at the end of days, verse 13, will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. When it says the quality, what it means is the essence of it. Is it of your own self, or is it out of the Spirit? Have you done it to boast, or have you done it to give God glory? Is this a result of you trying to approve, get yourself approved by God, or is it because you are resting in his approval by Jesus and you're walking in his righteousness? These things will become evident, the quality of each man's work. And if a man's work which he has built upon it remains after the testing, he shall receive a reward. God will reward. And remember, it said in Peter, this is not about who he likes. It's not about who he enjoys the company of. It's not about who his favorite kids are. Because he said, I am going to judge without any favoritism. It's going to be with any, it's going to be impartial. No partiality in my judging. What's he going to be looking for? What sort of work you've done? Now, before you jump up and say, well, I'm going to work really hard for God, you've got to make sure it's the right kind of work. If you sort of get in, God's going to be really pleased with me. God said, I hate what you're doing because it's all about you. Why don't you just relax and let me work in you and work through you? That's the kind of work, the love. But at the end of the days, after the fire test, God will actually reward us. This is not our salvation. This is not Ephesians 2 getting saved. We have nothing to boast about. This is just if we allow that salvation work to work in us and then we bring it out and we do works, we will be rewarded. And it says that some people are going to get the end. Verse 15, if a man's work is burned up, in other words, what happens if you get to that point and God puts the blowtorch and goes, you know what? You did nothing by the Spirit. It was all by the flesh. He said, all my Bible reading, all my witnessing. He said, yeah, it was hopeless. You know, in Corinthians, it says you can give your body to be burned, but if there's no love in it, it's no point. You can prophesy every Sunday, but if there's no love, it's just a banging cymbal. So some people are going to get the shock of their lives in heaven. All the stuff they've been doing for God, gone. But they don't get sent to hell. It just says they will be saved, yet as so as through fire. They just get saved. Whereas there's someone else, they've been drinking coffee and getting a reward. They've been ministering to the Lord. They've been reading their Bible. They've been witnessing. They've been getting out of their seat and giving their seat to someone else because God prompts them to. Remember, we had the animal trainer, Kay Skraga, and he said he was in his seat and someone wanted the aisle seat, and he travels a lot, he loves the aisle seat. The Holy Spirit spoke to him, said, get up and give that person your seat. So he got up and gave them a seat, said, have my seat. Later on, they came to the discussion and they started talking about God. They said, how can you prove to me there is a God? He said, because you're in the aisle seat. If there was no God, I wouldn't have given you the aisle seat. The only reason you're there is because God said to do it, and so I did it. All, so it can be a little thing that no one will else ever know about. Things that you do that God takes notice of, that no one else sees. You're in a line, and you see there's two cakes left, and there's three in the line, and you just move out of the way so that. And they don't turn around and say, thank you, you're amazing. No one even knows. So you have to say, oh, there were two cakes, and I was the third, but I stepped out. Because, no, you don't tell anybody. But, you know, someone sees why you did it and what you did, and one day there's a reward coming for that. You say, oh, I don't need a reward. Didn't say you needed it, but there's a reward coming. And you say, don't give me a reward. God says, are you telling me that you come to me and you don't expect me to be a rewarder? Because I told you to expect me to be rewarding you. It's not wrong. He says, I actually want you to understand it is right. To see me as that your rewarder is actually healthy. But that's why you've got to be careful what you see him rewarding. If you think he's just going to reward your effort in your flesh, you're going to be disappointed. It's going to become very tough. But if you just say, he rewards all those things I just do for him and out of my love for him. You know, because there's sometimes, you know, I remember Brother Jerry, he was on holidays, but he had to minister. The family were on holidays. And he said he'd look out the window and they're all down by the pool and having a good time. and he looks back and he's got his Bible and he's doing his notes and he's got a meeting, so he can't. You know what he says? But this is what I'm called to. I can't enjoy that at the moment. I'm doing this. There's a reward when it's done. I'm not saying you know everyone who swims goes to hell, and everyone who sits up in the bedroom and reads the Bible, they're the holy one. I'm not saying you've got to look inside. But sometimes there's a cost. There's stuff that you do that no one sees. There's things that, well, I just got to do it. Every Sunday, somebody is the first person to put a key into this building. And I don't know who they are. I can take a guess. But sometimes when I arrive, there's half a dozen people here. But someone was the first person here. Some people are still in bed while that person's putting the key in. Some of you are having lunch when they're walking around turning off air conditioners. If they do it right, there's a great reward. But it takes effort. They've got to get up early. They've got to be prepared. I appreciate that. There's serving God, but there is a reward. So I want to talk next week about when do you get that reward? Because this talks about a reward in heaven. But is every reward only in heaven? So we'll talk about that. Because you've got to know what is rewarding and when to expect it. If I said to my kids, when I get home from work, and I'm going to take you out, if you mow the lawns, I'm going to take you out. And if they're there at 2 p.m. mowing the lawns, and saying, where's Dad? Yes, I mowed the lawns. Yes. Well, it's because there's a time frame for that slushy. So you don't want to get confused about when the reward is, because it'll make you frustrated. But when I came and I said to Jordan, I'm going to take you out to get a slushy, and I said to Chris, where's Jordan? Oh, he's gone off with some friends. I said, I was going to give him a reward. He said, oh, he didn't expect it today. So he wasn't ready. So I want you to know when God gives you so you can be ready and make provision. So we'll do that probably next week. Let's all stand. Our God is a rewarder. Hallelujah. Our God is a rewarder.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast from Breakthrough Church. We hope it helps you in your life as a follower of Jesus. If you have any questions or would like someone to talk to or to pray with, we would love to hear from you. You can find all of our contact details at breakthrough.org.au. Have a great week.